and welcome to episode 11 of Upland English con Reza y Craig. Hello, Reza.
Hi, Craig, and hi, listeners. I hope you're all doing well.
And we hope you got fantastic presents for Christmas and you had a lovely Christmas holiday with your family. We're actually recording this before Christmas, but you'll probably be listening to it, we hope, after Christmas. So what do you think you got for Christmas, Reza?
I think I got a pair of gloves, as always, a scarf, socks, and I hope I got a new wallet, which I asked my mum for.
A new pair of slippers, perhaps? A new scarf?
That would be handy. What about you? What were you hoping for?
What was I hoping for? I wasn't hoping for anything in particular.
A new bathroom? Has it been completed, I wonder?
I'm sure as this episode is released, my bathroom will still be unfinished, I'm sure. I don't think Father Christmas came and put my sink in my bathroom over Christmas. But who knows? Maybe in the new year, the bathroom will be finished and I'll be able to wash my face in comfort.
Craig, when you were a kid, did they tell you it was a tradition to leave milk and cookies for Father Christmas? Isn't that right? Milk and biscuits, or leave him a little treat?
Yeah, the funny thing is we used to leave some milk and biscuits next to the fireplace, but we had the fireplace closed with bricks.
Yeah.
And I always wondered when I was small how he got down the chimney, how Father Christmas came into the house to leave the presents when we'd closed the fireplace.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, to finish your bathroom off, I think Father Christmas is going to want a lot more than milk and cookies. He'll probably want several hundred euros, I would imagine.
If he's anything like the Spanish builders we've employed, he's going to want a lot more than milk and cookies, let me tell you that. Reza, what are you going to speak about this episode in our grammar section, La Gramática?
Well, Craig, two related points. The first conditional and the second conditional. Shall I get cracking?
Go for it. First conditional and second conditional. If sentences. Sentences
That's
with
right.
if.
Sentences with if. Well, you know, Craig, a lot of people, as you know, make New Year's resolutions. You're probably going to talk about that later, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we could say, to give people an idea of preparing for the coming year, if you study hard and practice your English, you will learn a lot. If you study hard and practice, you will learn a lot of English. That is called a first conditional sentence. First conditional. We have the word if followed by a condition. If you study hard and practice, that's the condition. So for the consequence and result, you will learn English, or you will learn a lot of English. You have future will plus the verb. That is for the consequence or result. So just to recap then, a first conditional sentence. The grammatical structure is this. If plus present simple, that's the condition. If you study hard and practice, and then we have will with infinitive, you will learn a lot of English. That is for the consequence or result. And we use the first conditional to talk about things which are possible for the future. Maybe even probable. If you study hard and practice, you will learn a lot of English, believe me.
If you listen to this podcast, your English will improve.
It will. It is probable. It is a real, possible, indeed probable future consequence of listening is improvement of your English. Let's give you another example. Since it's the new year and people want to change their lifestyle, if you stick to a diet, you will lose weight. But the condition is you must stick to your diet. If you stick to your diet, you will lose weight.
Are you saying then if I eat less chocolate, I'll lose weight?
You will. If everything else remains the same, you will. Yeah.
And if I do more exercise, I'll probably feel better.
You will. And if you don't do exercise, you will put on weight. You'll gain weight. You can have negatives in first conditionals as well. If you don't do exercise, you will put on weight. Or we could say, unless you do exercise, you will put on weight. Unless means if not. If you don't do exercise.
See, no.
Unless you do exercise. Yeah. See, no. You will lose weight. So unless equals if not.
And can I change the order? I can change the order. I can say I'll put on weight if I don't do exercise.
Exactly. And you can also say you will learn a lot if you listen to our podcasts.
I see.
So put the consequence before the condition, yeah? So let's say it can be AB or BA order. It doesn't matter. As long as you get one thing right, listeners, put if with the condition or unless with the condition.
Because many Spanish speakers put will with the wrong clause, don't they? They
exactly.
Say, if I will see you, yeah. I'll say hello.
And that's wrong, yeah? It's got to be if with the present simple. That's the condition. If you study hard and practice, then for the consequence we have will. You will learn a lot of English.
If I win the lottery, I'll buy a new microphone.
Yeah. And you can reverse the order. I'll buy a new microphone if I win the lottery. Just reverse the order. That's the first conditional.
But that's if I buy a ticket. If I buy a lottery ticket, there's a possibility I'll win.
Yeah, it's a real possibility.
So how can I express that if I don't buy a lottery ticket and there's no chance I'll win?
Mm-hmm. Well, you
is
could...
Is that the second conditional?
Exactly. You could use the second conditional. For example, we could say, if you bought a lottery ticket, you would possibly win. If you bought... That's the past simple, but... We're not talking about the past. We're talking about an unreal or an unlikely situation. We use the past simple, but we're not talking about the past. We're talking about in present or future time. If you bought a lottery ticket, you would possibly win.
So in Spanish, you'd use the subjuntivo.
Subjuntivo. Si compraras la lotería, if you bought a lottery ticket, you would possibly win. Ganarías... Possiblemente. We could also say, if you bought a lottery ticket, you might win. You can change the word would for might to show that the consequence is only possible but not certain. If you bought a lottery ticket, you would possibly win or you might win.
So let me get this, see if I understand. So if I, with the example of the lottery ticket, if I win the lottery... I'll travel around the world. First conditional.
Yep.
I buy a ticket.
Yep.
If I won the lottery, I would travel around the world. Subjuntivo. Second condition.
Second condition. Because it's unlikely or improbable or completely unreal because you're never going to buy a lottery ticket. So we're only imagining. The second conditional is to imagine things. The first conditional, that's with present simple and will, is for a real possibility, maybe even a probability. But a second conditional, if you won the lottery, you would travel around the world. That is for something which is unlikely or improbable or even unreal because it's not going to happen because you never do the lottery.
So if a politician would possibly say, if I win the election, I'll lower taxes. But you would say, or I would say, we're not politicians, if I were Prime Minister, I would lower taxes.
Exactly. We have to say if I were, because it's unreal, because we can't possibly be Prime Minister, because we're not going to run an election. So we must use a second conditional to show that it's unreal. In other words, a second conditional is for things which are more remote, more distant, more unreal, more imaginary. Whereas a first conditional really could happen. The weird thing is for English speakers, when we learn Spanish, to find that in Spanish you have this subjunctive, which we find very complicated, which you use in the second conditional. The subjunctive in Spanish, I think, tends to be used to show that things are unreal or unlikely.
So I find that incredibly difficult.
Tricky,
I have problems with the subjuntivo.
We just use the past simple. Si compraras, if you bought. So if you bought a lottery ticket, you might win. Podrías, quizás, ganar.
I've got a question. Because we used the example, if I were Prime Minister, I would lower taxes. Do you think it's correct to say if I was Prime Minister?
Yes, that's, in fact, the listeners may be thinking, why didn't he say if I was? Was is the past simple of the verb to be. Yes, but in conditional sentences, second conditional sentences, when we use the past simple of the verb to be, it's considered better English, let's say, to say, rather than I was, to say I were.
I were.
And rather than he, she, it was, he, she, it were.
Yeah.
But it's also accepted to say I was and he was. But it's considered, let's say, better English to say if I were Prime Minister or if he were Prime Minister.
If I were you.
I guess in English, technically speaking, that's our subjunctive.
Hmm.
The normal past simple, the indicative, el indicativo, is I was. But the subjunctive past, el subjuntivo, is I were. That's really the English subjunctive. But you don't need to think like that. Just think of it as special use of second conditional. But really, it's the subjunctive. Craig, I have a question for you. If I bought you a drink...
I would be very happy.
Would you sing the Mickey Mouse tune in a future podcast?
If you bought me a drink or two, I would possibly sing the Mickey Mouse song.
Not Missy Mouse, not Minnie Mouse either. Mickey Mouse.
On one condition.
Oh?
Not the first condition, not the second conditional, but on the condition that you sing with me.
I would.
You would?
If you sang... I would sing with you.
So let's make a promise to our listeners that in 2014, to begin the new year, we will sing live on this podcast the Mickey Mouse song.
But I will sing only if Craig sings. I'm not going to sing alone.
Have you heard me sing?
No, I don't think I have.
If you had, third conditional.
That's a third conditional. Oh, no, Craig, don't confuse the listeners.
Next episode.
Yes, third conditional's coming in the next episode, so don't...
So here's a preview and a teaser. If you had heard me sing, you wouldn't have asked me to sing with you. We'll study that in the next episode.
And tell me, Craig, just one more example to practice an unreal situation, something which cannot possibly be true because it's unreal, second conditional. Craig, if you were Mickey Mouse... Which cartoon character would you hang out with? Who would you spend time with? Imagine, if you were Mickey Mouse, it's unreal, listeners, but we're just imagining. If you were Mickey Mouse, who would you hang out with? Donald Duck, Goofy, no, Pluto, who?
Possibly Goofy. I've always had a soft spot. I've always liked Goofy. But I think if I had to choose, I would hang out and go to a pub and have a beer with Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yes, why not?
Which is another one of my favourite songs.
Scooby-Dooby. No, we'll save it for next time.
Save it for the next podcast.
Okay, listeners, so you get the message. Craig, although he would love to be Mickey Mouse, he isn't Mickey Mouse. It's not real. So we have to say, if you were Mickey Mouse, si fueras el rato Mickey, which cartoon character would you hang out with? ¿Con qué otro personaje del mundo de la animación?
I'll
pasarías tiempo.
Throw the same question back to you, Reza. If you were Mickey Mouse, who would you have a drink with? Which cartoon character would you have a drink with?
Well, I should only really have a drink with Minnie Mouse, who would be my wife.
Yeah, but you know, you go to the pub, you want to hang out with a mate, you want to talk football, maybe sex. Who would you go with?
Bugs Bunny, I think.
Bugs Bunny, yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I would have a drink with Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
Just Bugs Bunny or my wife, Minnie Mouse.
I'm all ears. Moving on to the pronunciation section of the episode, and this episode I'd like to speak about word stress in numbers. Last episode we spoke about word stress in words, and I'd like you to write down on a piece of paper the following two numbers. Ready? 14, 40. Now, I hope that you wrote in this order 14:40. But sometimes it's difficult to know the difference between numbers in the teens, 14, 15, 16, 17, and numbers in their tens, 40, 50, 60, 70, etc. The way to distinguish, the way to know, la forma de saber, is the stress. Usually, the lower number, the number in the teens, 14, has the stress on the second syllable. So it would be dada, 14, 15, 16, etc. The numbers in their tens, 40, 50, 60, 70, have the stress on the first syllable. So it would be dada, 40, 50, 60, etc. Ojo, when we're counting numbers, the stress changes. So listen, 13, 14, 15, 16, the stress has changed to the first syllable. But numbers in isolation, how old is your daughter? Oh, she's 14. The stress is on the second syllable for numbers in their teens.
Craig, do you often ask people how old their daughters are?
No, I don't.
You better be careful. You might well receive a punch as the answer.
I used to. Now I ask them how old their grandmothers are. Moving on to our phrasal verb of the week, put up.
Put up. Listeners, I imagine that quite a few of you put up Christmas decorations. Did you? Did you put up a Christmas tree with little stars on it? Maybe an angel at the top, little bells and Father Christmases and things like that. So to put up Christmas decorations means to put up, to erect, to hang up.
Montar, perhaps?
Montar.
Like a Christmas tree?
Montar, yeah. It could also be colgar.
Colgar.
Could be that as well.
Because you can put up photos on the wall, put up pictures.
Exactly. Exactly. Put up for display so that people see. For example, in the Soviet Union, in the USSR, they put up many statues of Lenin. They put up many statues. They erected. Another meaning of put up is for accommodation. For example, Craig, you who are having your bathroom renovated at the minute, do you remember when I was having my bathroom renovated and you put me up for a few days?
Yep, I put you up in the flat. You stayed here for a couple of days. I gave you a bed, I fed you, I put you up.
He gave me accommodation, he put me up.
Hospedar?
Put me up, yeah. It generally means for free. So you don't say that a hotel puts you up. You pay to stay in a hotel. It's when you go to a friend's house or a charity or something like that and they offer you accommodation. That's put up.
Can you put me up next weekend?
Sure, I can.
Good.
Yeah, you might need to come with your bathroom renovations, right?
Exactly.
Okay, another meaning of put up is to put up a fight, to put up a struggle. For example, the boxer lost the match, but he was very brave. He put up a fight. He tried to win. He hit his opponent, but he lost. But he put up a fight. He tried. He put up a fight. He put up a struggle. A struggle is struggle.
Una lucha.
Luchó. Another use of put up is to put up money. To put up money is to contribute money for a specific purpose. For example, imagine they want to build a new airport. It's going to cost a lot of money. So the government are going to put up some of the money, but then the banks will have to put up the rest to contribute money for a specific purpose.
I wonder how much money they put up to build the airport in Castellón that's not being used.
Castellón, the airport with no flights. I would like to work there as an air traffic controller. They earn a lot of money and it doesn't matter how many flights they are. Sorry, it doesn't matter how many flights they have. Can you imagine air traffic controller and Castellón? I would watch Mickey Mouse cartoons all day. It'd be brilliant. Okay, another meaning of put up is a fixed expression, to put up or shut up.
Put up or shut up.
What does that mean to you, Craig? To put up or shut up?
Hazlo o cállate.
Exactly. Great translation. In other words, act or be quiet. Do something or don't speak. Put up or shut up.
Take action or don't do anything or don't speak.
Exactly. So shut up means cerrar el pico.
Hmm.
And another couple meanings, to put something up for sale. For example, on internet these days, people often put up things on eBay. They put them up for sale.
That's right.
They put them up for sale. That means you publicly announce or make it known that you want to sell something. A more traditional way is at an auction. An auction is, you know, when people say, so who will buy this Picasso painting? Do I have 500,000? 500,000. 600? 600,000 here. This gentleman, 700,000. Any more? Any more? 800,000. Sold for 800,000. You can put things up at an auction. eBay is really an auction, but it's an auction on internet.
So I suppose I could say that every week or every 10 days... we put up a new episode of this podcast.
Exactly, to put up, to make something public, to make it publicly available. We put up an episode, yeah. Craig, I have one more point about put up. It's a question for you.
Go ahead.
The last meaning of put up. Are you going to put up with my comments about Mickey Mouse this year?
But that's the podcast. Put up with.
Very observant. Yes, slightly different. If we add the preposition with, to put up with, it means aguantar.
Supportar.
Are you going to tolerate? Are you going to tolerate? Are you going to supportar, aguantar? Are you going to put up with my comments? Or are you going to crack and get really angry?
I think I'm going to have to put up with your comments about Mickey Mouse because, let's face it, Reza, I put up with you every episode.
That is true. That's true.
Moving on to our vocabulary corner. And because it's New Year 2014, I thought it would be suitable to speak about New Year's resolutions. Resolución del Año Nuevo. You know, when the New Year comes around, when the New Year appears, we like to promise ourselves we're going to change, we're going to do things better, we're going to improve our situation. So I have a top 10 of the most popular resolutions, Reza, and I'd like you to try to guess, without looking at my paper, see how many of these 10 popular resolutions you can guess that people make. Now, bear in mind, remember, 8% of people who make New Year's resolutions actually keep them. So these are resolutions that people popularly make, often make, but only 8% of these are actually kept.
8%, that's not much, is it?
It's not, is it? And every year we do the same. So what do you think? Have a guess at some of these resolutions.
The top 10.
Yeah.
This is worldwide, yeah?
Worldwide.
Okay, let's see. Go on a diet, that's got to be in the top 10.
That's number one. Lose weight. Lose weight is number one.
Stop drinking alcohol.
That's number seven. Along with stop smoking. Stop drinking alcohol. Good, that's two. You got two so far.
Do more exercise.
That's again with number one. Lose weight, do more exercise. Good.
I don't know if it's here on the list, Craig, but I think our listeners should put as number one, study and practice more English. Is it on the list?
I agree. It's not on the list, but I think it should be.
Number one?
Especially for our audience.
Should be number one. What else is on the list, Craig?
I'll tell you. Number one, lose weight and do more exercise. Number two, eat more healthily. Change your diet. Eat healthy food.
Would that exclude dulce de leche?
Everything's okay in moderation.
Moderation.
If you take dulce de leche out of your life, you really aren't going to be as happy, are you?
De vez en cuando, un poquito
de dulce de leche. Number three, save money.
Okay.
Saving money is another resolution. Get a better job, number four. Improve your job situation. Spend more time with family and friends,
right.
Number five. Travel more, number six. Stop smoking and drinking, you correctly guessed. And number 8, get organized. Mm. Organize your life, organize your work, organize your everything. And number 9, learn something new, which could be your suggestion to improve your English. And number 10, read more books. Possibly in English, but just read more. So those are the 10 most popular resolutions. Are you going to make any resolutions this year? Do you usually make them?
Well, I have one resolution which I've had for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And it's on this list, Craig. For me, can you guess what's number 1? Craig, if let me ask you a question.
Get a better job.
if you could choose, which would you choose as your number 1 resolution of these 10? That's a second conditional, by the way, listeners.
If I could choose one, I would choose get organized. I'm not happy with the way I organize my work, my life. So I'd probably try to get organized in 2014.
Well, for me, by far, the most important thing is learn something new.
What would you learn?
Don't know, but something new.
Something new.
The dulce leche recipe? I don't know.
We'll ask you in the new year if you've made that resolution. Do you have a top tip for us, Reza?
Yes, just a quick tip this week. The tip is every once in a while, self-check yourself for spelling.
Self-check yourself. How would you do that?
Well, think of words which you find difficult to spell. Classics, that means typicos, are accommodation.
Double C, double M.
Double C, double M. Some people write double C, one M. Some people double M, one C. Double C, double M, accommodation. Other ones are, for example, regrettable. Is it one T? Is it double T? Tell me, Craig.
One T.
Double T.
Isn't double T?
Double T. Unstoppable. One P or double B and unstoppable.
My students have problems with which. Not Bruja, the other which. W-H. They always forget the H.
Well, exactly. You should compare them. So you took the words out of my mouth. The next thing I was going to say is write words which sound similar. In fact, they may even sound exactly the same. They may be homophones, like which, W-H-I-C-H, and which, W-I-T-C-H. The first which is pronoun, and the second which is bruja, and see can you spell them correctly.
And the trick with bruja is the T is the hat of the witch.
That's a good way to remember, yeah? That's a good way to remember. So, tricky words which you know you have difficulty with. Don't pick easy words, because then there's no point. Words which you know are hard for you, or hard in general, write them down. And then later, go to the dictionary and check your spelling. Use a good dictionary. Be very careful about some dictionaries online. They can't all be trusted.
Let me put you on the spot and ask you for a recommendation for a paper dictionary and an online dictionary.
Well, paper dictionary, Oxford is good.
Mm-hmm.
Collins, not bad either.
I like Collins. I use Collins as well. English, Spanish, yeah.
Yeah. Cambridge also. My personal preference is Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
And no, listeners, honestly, we do not get money. We really should start charging these companies.
We should, shouldn't we?
But we don't. Oxford, I think.
We should get commission for this.
And online, well, it depends if you're prepared to pay or not.
Yeah, well, let's say not paying, because I'm a cheapskate. I like to save my money.
Cheapskate, listeners, is un rácano.
Rácano.
Rácano. Un tacaño.
Un tacaño.
Me too, so I would never buy one online. I have some free CDs, but normally you have to buy the paper dictionary to get the CD anyway. But online, free, I would say Word Reference.
I was hoping you'd say that, because I use wordreference.com every single day when I'm writing material. And I find it very good, very useful, and almost always correct. Wordreference.com.
Well, that's my tip for today. Be careful with spelling.
Thank you very much. And thank you to all of you who have listened to this episode. Remember, if you want to contact us, you can send us an email or a sound file. Un fichero de sonido con tu voz en MP3, an MP3 file attached to an email, and send your comments and your questions to mentionteachers@yahoo.com. www.thebrainfarm.es. And if you're making any New Year's resolutions, send us your resolutions and we will speak about them on the episode. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Reza. And we'll see you next episode.
Have a great 2014. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.